This is CliffCentral.com.
The biggest fan of the new series Billions is in the studio with us. That is Anthea Gardner. Let's find out immediately what's happening in the markets and everything to do with those billions. I'm happy to see you.
She was hard for the money, so hard for it, honey.
I was thinking maybe we should put you in the studio and redo this song, because I feel maybe we didn't get the best take out of you this time.
You keep threatening to do that.
How are you, Anthea?
I'm good, thanks. So, Billions, eh?
Yeah, what a show.
Yeah,
I watched episode one, and I'm definitely hooked. I can't wait to see the rest. I think there are two more already out.
Flax and I keep talking about it. We laugh about it.
Tell me how those conversations go for you. Because Flax just sees this lifestyle and he sees these people. He has no idea of how the money is made. And
exactly.
I don't think he particularly cares for it.
He just said so a minute ago. He goes, I'm going to be a trader. That's how it is, because that's how he thinks my life is. Except,
so
of course, minus the blonde wife, the $83 million holiday
Hamptons,
home,
yeah.
And thank God, not the SEC on my back for insider trading. But other than that, of course, that's me.
Yeah,
really, Flex.
Sure. And of course, it didn't take you long to get there. It wasn't hard work. You didn't have to study and pay attention and be extraordinarily disciplined and work for a whole bunch of probably slimy people before you got to make your own decisions.
Actually, I know this is not the entertainment section, but have you guys seen The Big Short?
Yes.
And
Ben,
what do you
has.
Think of it?
He loved it. He was raving
such
about it.
An amazing movie.
Okay.
And
now
it's a movie you have to watch to understand what this world's really about and what really happens.
It's such a good take on what actually did happen, and it explains it so well. Because last week I was talking about short squeezes and shorting shares, and that's exactly what it is, The Big Short.
Yeah.
So a good explanation, and I'm glad they put it into terms that everyone can understand, or at least I think so.
I think it's also the scariest movie I've seen since The Ring.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
There's a lot of evil out there.
So all I need now is the T-shirt, because I was actually there. I lived through it. I was working for Morgan Stanley London when Lehman's went under. And you know, one of the guys was the Morgan Stanley hedge fund.
Sure.
And so there's a scene in the movie where the Lehman's guys are carrying their boxes out the office.
Mm-hmm.
And my office was next to the Lehman building. So I actually vividly remember people carrying their boxes out.
Whoa.
Morgan Stanley CDS spiking, the share price falling. It was really scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some terrifying stuff, because that's lives ruined.
Yeah, for sure.
And not just the people who worked at those institutions, but all the people whose money they were trading with.
Yeah. And all those homes lost and retail clients lost homes.
Real life consequences. So you see, Flax, Billions is all about the guy who's making the money. But I guarantee you by the end of the season, you'll see how miserable his life is. If the show has any balls, they'll go that way. Right?
Well, I don't know.
No, you'll see. He's going to go through ups and downs. You watch.
Yeah. And you think he's going to come out okay on the end.
How many of these billionaires that we know have lost everything and had to start again?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
Absolutely.
Some amazing stories there.
Sure.
All right. But enough about the world of entertainment. Let's start off with
Gareth, the world of entertainment. Did you see Nene's resignation story on Friday?
Say,
I mean, that's entertainment.
So. Here's our finance minister last year. Gets fired by the president. President says we've got an important job for him at the BRICS Bank. That's why I'm putting David Van Rooyen in. So we all go, okay. The markets react very badly. Within 2 days, the president's changed his mind. Apparently, he asked Nhlanhla Nene to come back. Nhlanhla Nene said to him, fuck you. So they decided that he would be told, or the public would be told, that he was going to go and take up this job at the BRICS Bank. Meanwhile, Pravin says he'll step in like a good servant, and he takes over the finance ministry again. And Nhlanhla Nene is waiting now for this BRICS post that's been talked about.
So I thought it going to happen last week, because Leslie Marsdorp, who used to be the head of Advitech for a couple of months, went over to the BRICS Bank last year, June, with Tito Mboweni. So Leslie Marsdorp is now the vice president of the NDB, and he was actually in town last week. So I happen to know this. So I speculated that, sure, you know, he was here to make Nene the final offer and they were sorting out, and apparently not. Nhlanhla Nene does not have an offer from the NDB, the National Development, or the New Development Bank, or whatever the BRICS Bank.
The BRICS Bank.
Yeah.
So he decided to resign as an MP of the ANC. He's obviously really annoyed.
But apparently he resigned last year already in December, and they've only made it kind of official, or they've only accepted it now or put it in the news now, let us know. Hmm. That is skullduggery at its best.
So where to from here for Nhlanhla Nene?
I don't know. That's the question.
I mean,
right?
He'd probably be in demand as a director of some companies, sure, I'm sure.
Sure, I would
so
say.
So he could pick and choose.
Yeah, but he didn't seem... If he had another job to go to, don't you think he would have said so this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think he's really cross.
I would be.
He's been treated very
understandably
badly.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And poor old Gedlehlekisa is sitting with egg on his face again.
But the fact that he lied to us,
yeah, he
so
lies.
Blatantly
he made it up.
Embarrassing.
I mean, a BRICS bank.
Yeah,
like your finance minister's so good that he must go to the BRICS bank and you appoint some ignoramus as your finance minister.
He's
do
got
me a
it
favor.
So wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks we're all as stupid as he is.
Yep. Anyway, on the market. Our market closed up 36 basis points yesterday. Trade's a bit slow. Only $1.3 billion traded. Huge spike in diversified miners again on Friday. Now, this is really worrying me, actually, because it makes me think of The Big Short. But Anglo American was up 12% on Friday. So year to date, it's down about 50%. But what we're attributing it to is this short squeeze that I keep talking about. And the weird thing about it is that we're all worried that the US is not producing as much as it should. It's not growing as quickly as it should. And of course, we're worried about China's hard landing. And yet, resource companies are spiking. So what's happening, we think, is that, of course, people have shorted Anglo American and the traders are now buying back their positions, which is forcing the stock higher, which is exactly, Ben, if you remember, what happened in The Big Short with the CDSs, which those three funds shorted.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's going, what is she talking
about? I don't know.
Remember?
I'm actually going to watch it twice because someone said to me on Twitter that they liked the movie, but they didn't actually understand certain parts of it. Yeah. Now, there were certain parts in the beginning where you actually have to maybe pause and watch a scene or two together. But it's so important you know these things.
Okay. All right.
So something's wrong again. Something's wrong
in
the world.
So what can happen here? Because if you're drawing some kind of comparison between this and what happened with Lehman Brothers and Morgan Stanley and all the rest of it, then what you're saying is that these things are overvalued and there's going to be a burst.
That's right. That's exactly.
Of this bubble. When that happens, these stocks will be horribly devalued and a lot of people will lose a lot of money.
Yep, and a lot of people will lose their jobs, unfortunately. So what
happens in these companies?
Yes. So what happens with every kind of boom and bust cycle, and it's normal in an economy, is that companies have to go bust. So think of every single low economy or bust decline in the economy. The problem in 2008 is that none of the companies went bust. So we had governments propping up the banks, propping up GE, propping up AIG, when they should have let some of them go. Now, I understand that you don't want to let the banks go bust because...
You thin the herd. It's financial evolution.
Exactly.
Financial natural selection, let's say.
There you go. Natural selection. And that didn't happen in 2008, and I think it's going to have to happen now. Unfortunately, now, the companies that are under pressure are the commodities companies. So a new age, we're talking different environment, we're talking different growth areas. So, yes.
Are there any of the mining interests that you would be invested in?
Not at this stage. But this is, I say this, but then Anglo American's up 34% in the last five trading days, and I'm not invested in it. So I've missed out 34%, which is why, I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little bit anxious about it.
Yeah, but when it falls, you won't be sorry.
There we go. So it's a bit of patience. You need the time.
You sell one day before the fall, then you're okay. But one day after, you're miserable.
There you go. And that's such a good point because a lot of people are always going, oh, let's time the market. But it's not about timing the market. You can't time the market. You don't know when that day is that it's going to fall 30%. So pick your blue chips. Stick with the ones you know. Stick with the ones that are solid companies, strong balance sheet. Dividend-paying companies are always good because the minute a company cuts its dividend, it is a sign that it no longer has free cash.
Mm-hmm.
So we like the dividend-paying companies.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the situation in the U.S. at the moment. You mentioned it just a moment ago. They're not growing as fast as we had hoped.
Yeah.
But they're not doing badly. There are more jobs.
Yeah, they created 151,000 more jobs last month. The market was expecting 190,000. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, didn't get there. And of course, and so everyone's just sitting there going, what is going on? So the US's unemployment rate is now below 5%, which kind of is norm, which is almost what we were expecting when we talk about them increasing rates. Wages spiked, which is great. So one of the concerns is, even though the US was creating jobs, was that they were creating low paid jobs, and so wages weren't going up. So that was one of the issues, and that's now bearing fruit or coming to the fore. So, but even though they are creating jobs and things are looking good, people are still worried, because last week Tuesday, the services number or the manufacturing number wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone's just really unsure about what's happening. So, yeah, even though global markets were down on Friday, at least South African market kind of was hanging in there. I tell you what is concerning, though, is that analysts are still expecting, on average, and this is kind of consensus, about a 16% return on the S&P 500 for this year. And it is the first time, though, that the difference between analysts is huge. So what the top guy expects and what the bottom guy expects, it's been the biggest since 2008, which means there's no real understanding or consensus, or nobody knows what's going to happen going forward. Everybody's got their spreadsheet, and the smallest difference, like the smallest change in the dollar, the smallest change in the oil price or in Chinese GDP growth, makes such a big difference on your projections going forward that it's really difficult. So for me, for example, for the Aussie, my spreadsheet, I would say that South Africa stock market's going to increase between 3% and 5% on average. So what I'm looking for is the companies that will outperform, that won't go bust, that will pay good dividends, or how much of my portfolio I need to have in cash or in bonds. So because interest rates are going up, bond yields will go up. So maybe it's a good idea to stay in fixed income or to stay in a bit of cash, so that you've got that kind of a surety of getting your 6% or 7% or 8% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're picking stocks, you just need to be really careful about it. So this year is going to be an interesting one. And of course, back to the US, where do we go from here? You know, you saw last week we were talking about the tech stocks that were doing so well, but then the flip side, some of them are not doing so well.
Mm.
So really, stock picking again is the big thing this year, I think.
Yeah, and it sounds like there will be very, very small gains made, but those will be considered successes, and hopefully there won't be huge losses made.
And stay away from the companies that are going to make losses or that look like they could go potentially bust.
It's easier said than done, right? Yeah.
The interesting thing, of course, was on Friday, when all of this data came out, and everybody's so concerned and not sure what's going to go on in the US economy, we saw kind of the dollar all over the place, and subsequently the rand all over the place. So it was slightly weaker in the beginning of the day. It was over 16. And then by the end of the day, it was trading at 15.95. And then on Friday evening, it spiked up again, weakened, I should say, to over 16. So really, this volatility is just something else. It's really bizarre.
There's a question here. Anthea, what about the scam Triple M out of nowhere?
Triple M. I don't know about Triple M. I wish I had more information on it.
Okay, well, maybe you'll find out more today. Not urgent. It comes out of left field. But there is lots of interest in whether or not you should buy a home, because obviously Mubs is looking at properties at the moment in terms of places that she wants to rent. You've told her renting is better than buying.
I don't know if I've said renting is better than buying. I said, what is really important at this stage, if you are buying a home, you must realize that a big portion of your cash will go into this home, and you want to be careful. So the first thing you need to be careful of is be aware that interest rates are going up. And if interest rates are going up, your mortgage is going up, or that if you've secured your mortgage, that you've secured it at a higher rate to where the interest rate currently is. And I'm just saying, be really careful because of this. It almost feels to me that if you're buying a home right now, you're not diversifying. So a big portion of your investment or your cash, your money, is sitting in this home. What happens in an economy is that interest rates go up, you struggle. If anything changes in the economy, chances are the value of your home decreases. It's almost a self-fulfilling theory, almost like an event, because what happens to a lot of people now when the economy is struggling is that interest rates go up, they lose their jobs, and they can't afford to pay mortgages. Then they have to sell their home. And at the same time, unfortunately, because the economy is doing so badly, the value of their home has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give them the chance to ride it up and out. There are other options. If you want property exposure, and I think you should have property exposure, there's something called a REIT, a Real Estate Investment Trust. So these are listed property companies. And generally, they pay out they're tax beneficial. So to be tax beneficial, the rule is that they have to pay out more than, I think it is 80 or 95%, one of the two,
mm-hmm.
of their profit for the year, of their revenue for the year, which is different, sorry, their profit for the year, I should say. So actually you're getting this company's profit or all the rental income they're making, you're getting that as a dividend every year. Now there's some nice ones on the JSE where you're getting double-digit growth. Whereas at the moment where we are in the property ladder, I think because the economy's difficult and people are going to struggle, I think you'll see property come down this year. So if you find something and you really want it, go out and buy it. Just make sure you can afford the mortgage. Make sure you can afford more than you've budgeted because rates are going up.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think there are going to be some pockets where you can buy later on in the year or maybe the beginning of next year when property has come down a bit.
Okay. I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
Doesn't get simpler than that. Now, what about African Bank? We spoke about this just a while ago. What's happening there? Is there any news?
Yes, there is news. So it looks like they might be launching in April. They've come out and said that they've already paid down half their creditors, 500 million rand.
Whew.
Yeah, so they're doing okay, right?
That's all right.
Well, I say that, but don't forget what I'm talking about, the good bank now.
Yeah, so, no, sure.
So they extracted the bad bank. Saab is looking after that. And in the good bank, they've managed to pay back half the loans. I think when they come back to market in April, they'll probably have assets of about 54.5 billion rand on the balance sheet, which is a great thing. But the number that scares me is that the rating agencies have estimated that the African Bank will have 10 billion rands worth of non-performing loans. So this is important because it
does
relates,
that mean people who can't pay back the
that's
loans?
That's right. So this is what we're relating to this property story.
Hmm.
And I think non-performing loans, we call them NPLs, will actually increase this year in the bank. So I'm a little bit worried as the economy struggles, as interest rates go up, as people lose jobs, that this non-performing loan number will increase. And it'll increase with all the banks, not just the African Bank. But the number that the rating agency has come up with of 10 billion is worrying. So people are unable to repay their loans. I mean, the rating agency did finally give African Bank a rating again after they'd gone bust.
Mm-hmm.
So they've given them a B+ rating, which is about 4 notches below junk status, or junk
wow.
status.
How do you come back from that?
Exactly. And especially in this kind of economy, right? And I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that South Africa is going to get downgraded to junk anyway, right? We've spoken about this. We agree. We do, right?
Well, sadly, we have no option. We've got to agree.
So, I mean, there's actually been very little issuance in the South African credit market this year. And normally January is a bit quiet. We've got two auctions due this week. We've got a bank and a parastatal. But it's worrying that people are kind of sitting on the sidelines in the credit market at the moment because they don't know if they're going to get loans at the right price, in inverted commas, the right price. Because what's already happened is that we are trading pretty much in line with Russia and Brazil, who are already junk status. So we're trading, even though the rating agencies haven't officially said we are junk status, that's pretty much where we're trading. Our spreads to developed markets are wide enough to be considered junk status, basically.
Sure. All right.
You know, a little bit worrying. Mm-hmm.
So Asian markets are closed for Chinese New Year?
Pretty much, yeah. So China and Taiwan, all of them closed the entire week. Hong Kong, Korea closed 8th to the 10th. Singapore is closed on the today and tomorrow. And then even Brazil, India, and Argentina are closed today and tomorrow.
Wow. Is that the Zika virus's fault?
I don't know. Wasn't it Carnival this weekend?
Rio Carnival.
That's what it is, right. What holiday is that?
No idea.
Carnival.
Then let's get drunk and all have sex with each other, Carnival. That's Brazil.
I looked into Triple M. It's a pyramid scheme running successfully by a Russian man, Sergio Mavrodi. He's actually been convicted in Russia and spent jail time for fraud. Mm. And he's using social media in South Africa like YouTube and Twitter to entice people to invest.
How is it running successfully if he's been jailed?
He's only been jailed in Russia.
So it's okay for him, for us to invest in South Africa, Flax?
He's tricking people through YouTube videos on a YouTube page and stuff like that.
Oh my God, please stay away from that. Please do not go anywhere near Triple M.
There we go. That's all you need to know. Thank you, Anthea.
All right.
Very
thanks,
good.
Guys.
Anthea Gardner, just after 7 o'clock and the Money Shot on Mondays.
This is CliffCentral.com.